I haven't seen in all those years. And it's just nice to be able to gather and to see. And then one of the keynote speakers was, he was actually one of my church planting instructors in Spokane when we went back in probably was it early 2008 when we went to this class on church planters. And he looks at me and is like, man, I remember you, Scott. I would never forget you because I was with you when you was in your first snowstorm. And Christy and I, we were walking from the instruction room to the cafeteria, and we were walking with our heads up and our mouths open. And he was, all these guys are from Montana, Spokane, Seattle, and they're looking at me and Christy like, you guys are weird. What is the matter with you? And she asked, is this the first time you've seen snow? And we go, yeah, and we're walking. Like, then it's like, oh, no wonder. You know, it's the first time we've been in snow. It was, snow is overrated. Seriously. I don't know why anybody would want to live in places that gets down to, like, one day in Spokane, we woke up and it was the thermometer was zero. And it was like miserable cold. Like, who wants to live in something like that? We had a spare moment when he was doing that, and we went into a shopping mall, and it was just white all outside, and we needed to catch a taxi back. So we called the taxi, but we couldn't wait outside. It's like we would have been a popsicle. We went back inside. Well, the taxi came and went because we wasn't there. But yeah, so I got to see one of the guys. His name was Nate, and he remembers us for being in our first snowstorm with him. And, you know, it was just such a wonderful time of learning. And one of the keynote speakers was Brandon Ahu from Metro Christian Fellowship on Oahu. And he just turned 40, you know, I don't know if you remember when you was 40, but his message was kind of neat because he used the illustration of a grilled cheese sandwich with sourdough bread. Yeah, go figure, yeah? And how do you get a message from a grilled cheese sandwich with sourdough bread? And he said, he was explaining at 40, he's the cheese, right? And the sourdough bread, the crusty old stuff, that's the old guys. And the sourness in the sourdough, that's the young guys. They're like, what time I gotta get up? Make the sour face. What time I got, what's the meaning about? Make the sour face. Too early, make the sour face. So the 40-year-old is the guy who gotta hold the old crusty guys and the young sour guys together. So how many of you is like over 40? How many of you are under 40? Okay, we want to get a few, but we gotta. Yeah, depends on the calendar. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're talking maybe in Christ I'm under 40, maybe, huh? Yeah. So you know, we really got me thinking. We really gotta get the younger ones more. Yeah. We gotta get the younger ones more connected. See, the older guys, the old crusty guys, we pay the bills. The younger guys, we gotta teach them. So when they come to the old and crusty guys, they know their role. But yeah, so there was a lot of great things we learned. And I don't know if I ever wanna go to Florida again because it's so hot and humid and next year, our Foursquare family, we're going to turn 100. 100 years old as a denomination. And go figure, yeah, they're going to have it in Anaheim. You know, from Orlando to Anaheim, I think Foursquare and Disney got something in cahoots, man. It's like, not another Disneyland trip. Yeah, whew. I saw, you know, it's going to be in Orlando, and I'm sure they're going to have tours of Angelus Temple, where If you ever know the story of Foursquare, that's where it all started in LA by Echo Park. But yeah, that's coming up next year, and I think it's going to be a wonderful time that we're going to be 100 years old.
Wow.
We're getting old, but not that old. But hey, anyway, you know, it's Father's Day. My dad, I lost my dad in 2016 on June 1st. And, you know, I remember it clearly because I was at our annual meeting, our annual Connections conference. And every year it starts on Memorial Day. So, you know, we always hit that ending of May, beginning of June. And, you know, if anybody can pass away at a right time, that was the right time because our conference was on Oahu. It was June 1st. It was a Wednesday morning. We were right in the middle of our conference. I was in charge of all the volunteers. So I would go in there at 6 o'clock, fire up all the computers, make sure all the volunteers could come in, sign in, and they would go off to their various locations to volunteer. And so I got everything going, and then my phone rings. My mom calls me and says, I think your dad just died. And I was like, really? Yeah, in his sleep. So I was like, whoa. That was like, wow. I mean, and I was kind of shocked, but I thought, well, you know, I'm on Oahu. My mom and my dad was on Oahu. My wife was with me, and my children was with me. So I was like, wow, if my dad could go home to heaven at any particular time, that was the time to go because I didn't have to call the airline, see if I could get on a plane. We were all there. And so I informed one of our leaders that, hey, you know, my dad passed away and I get to go to my mom's house before they come and do the body removal. And so, yeah, all four of us got to go. They found somebody to take over. And so we got to be with my mom for at least for that day. And then I went back that evening to resume my stuff. So if you have a dad still here, man, you know, let them know how much you love them. Because I remember earlier before he left and before he passed away was earlier in May that he was actually on this island for my daughter's graduation. And my last words to my dad before he got on the plane was, Dad, I love you. And I felt like, oh, at least I got to say my last words. Wasn't like we were fighting. So if you have a dad, just let him know how much you love him and how much you appreciate him. You know, Father's Day is a special time. And, you know, I've over the years, you know, of doing church for 22 years, you know, I see the differences in Father's Day and Mother's Day. And in Mother's Day, we do our very best to pamper and treat our mothers and take care of them, manicures, pedicures, our Mother's Day brunch. And we do that because mothers got to put up with so much of our doo-doo. Yeah, and you know, they got to put up with so much of our, you know, that. And when it comes to Father's Day, well, we drill them that, but Dad, you got to do this. And we kind of like let them know what is expected of them. And there's like this weight. It's like, man, you got to do this. You got to be better at this. And this is no accident. You know, being a husband, being a dad, it's a heavy-duty responsibility. And I don't know how any man can do it successfully without God leading them, strengthening them, teaching them, encouraging them. You know, I tried doing that for about 4 years. And I realized that, man, it came to the point when I looked in the mirror And I said, Scott, you suck as a dad. You are just absolutely rotten. And if you keep leading your family in this way, you're going to set them up for failure. And that's when it hit me. It's like, man, I need help. I really need help. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 18.4 million children, that is one in four, live without a biological step or adoptive father in the home. And they say that's enough to fill New York City twice, Los Angeles four times over. And research shows that a father's absence affects children in numerous unfortunate ways. While a father's presence makes a positive difference in the lives of both children and mothers. So it does make a difference. And I got this from the National Fatherhood Initiative. You know, being a dad and a husband is not an easy job. I used to think it was easy. My answer is, yeah, whatever. Whatever, just whatever, honey. Whatever. Just grab me another beer. That was my answer to everything. Fine. Just grab me another beer. And that was my answer. And until I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I would let my wife decide on issues that I didn't want to deal with, which was everything. And after I came to know Jesus, I realized that was absolutely unfair to put all those things on her. After reading the Bible, I realized that I have a lot of responsibilities as a dad and a husband. And some of them, which we're going to go over today, some of my greatest responsibilities are this. The first one is love my wife. You know, husbands, in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So a lot of times, it's dying to ourselves so that our wives can live. A lot of times, it's following her carrying numerous bags throughout the mall so she can have a blast. And yes, you die to yourself. And I have a hard time dying that way, but when we travel, that's what I do. It's like, you might think, what does loving my wife have to do with Father's Day? And I believe that our children observe how we treat our wives, and they learn a lot how we treat them. And I believe one of the best things we can do for our children is teach them, or actually not teach them, but show them by example how to love our wives. Number two, we need to lead our household. In Genesis 18:19, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And here, you know, we're talking about Abraham, and an angel came to Abraham, and they were telling him that this time next year they was going to have a child. And they was debating whether or not they should tell Abraham or not. But he tells Abraham, you know, you need to command your children and the household, you know, to keep the way of the Lord. We, as dads, you know, we got to instruct them. We got to teach them. We got to read scripture to them. We got to pray with them. We get to pray for them. If you think about the future health and safety of our of Christianity, of our families. It weighs a lot on us. Loving our wife, loving our children, you know, praying for them. You know, everything that we go through. You know, the struggles. You know, when we have struggles, you know, we go through trials, maybe at work, or maybe with our health, in your household. How many of you, husbands and wives, you know, you let your children know that this is what we're going through, and we're going to pray about it. And when God answers or he delays or whatever happens, that is a valuable, valuable teaching moment. Don't let it pass you by. And when our children were growing up, we would pray, and would God answer the prayers, we would share with them, this is what God answered, either yes or no or not now. And all the trials, all the victories, everything we did, we shared with our children so that they would understand what it is that we go through and how it is that we deal with it. You know, when you get into an argument, when they used to fight with their friends, or when they would fight, you know, when your daughters and they fight with their boyfriend, oh my gosh, and they bring it home. And, you know, it's like, you know, some of your dads are like, oh, thank God that they broke up, man. Yeah. How many of you dads would think like that? Thank God that they broke up. You know? You know what? I mean, I used to think like that. But I told my daughter, you need to learn to work things out, to fix things now. Because if you cannot learn to fix the relationship with the boyfriend, when you get married, as soon as you fight, I'm out of here. So I try to teach them to work through their fights and their disputes. And man, I know one time we took a boyfriend on a vacation with us. And you ever go on vacation and they fight? It's like, oh. So I pulled them aside, just gotta stop now. Because you're making everybody else miserable. Fix it, and let's get on with this vacation. And, you know, we teach them, we give them scriptures, and we teach them to work through. And if you have a child who plays sports, that is a great teaching moment, because on every sports team, there's just that one person. There's that, you know who I'm talking about, right? That one person. And even at work, there's that one person, right? How many of you did at work, there's that one person, right? Oh, that person just knows how to push your buttons, get under your skin. But that is, you know, when they come home and they talk about that one person who pushes their button, who is lazy, who doesn't, is not a team member. You think about it, as a family, as a husband, as a man following God, you get to use that to teach your children scriptures, how to get by and how to take care of things. So, you know, it's very important that we do these things. So here's the other one. Dads, you know, dads instruct. How many of you dads, you know, in Proverbs, hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Dad said, go take out the trash. Mom said, let me show you how to take out the trash. Go wash the dishes. Mom said, let me show you how to wash the dishes. I think moms have more patience, so they teach. Dad just said, go do this. This, okay? You open the rubbish can, you take out the bag, tie it up, take it out. Instructions. Moms will teach you. Yeah? So for dads, In order for us to give the right and proper instructions, we need to be instructed. And if we get in our instructions from the wrong source, then we'll be giving bad instructions. Yeah? You ever had somebody teach you something the wrong way and then get corrected to doing it the right way? And I believe the Bible is the best source of that. You know, as I was reading my Bible this week, I came across 1 Kings 22:12. And it says, all the prophets were prophesying, thus says, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hands of the king. So here, what was happening, okay? King Ahab was a bad king. And Jehoshaphat, they kind of formed an alliance to go to battle against the Arameans of Ramoth Gilead. And all of King Ahab's prophets were prophesying prosperity and victory. But the source of these prophets were deceitful. So they was telling prosperity and victory when actually the opposite was going to happen. And I believe King Ahab got killed this time. So, you know, who was the king listening to? He had bad prophesying. Somebody was. And so, if, as dads, we get our instructions from the internet, might not be so good, right? Maybe you might get your fatherhood instructions from YouTube. I mean, there's a lot of good things on YouTube. There's a lot of not so good things on YouTube. And I believe that for us dads, if we're going to instruct, we better get our instructions from the right source. Amen? Yes. Can it go wrong if we get our instructions from the Lord? Number two, dads provide. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So, provide what? Well, emotional support. You know, when your children come home, they're distraught. They're bummed out. And maybe the first thing out of your mouth is, I told you. Should have listened to me. Yeah, I mean, how many of you got that as a kid? Yeah? Told you should have done your homework. You never listened to me. I got that so much. But man, instead of I told you so, maybe we need to figure out another way to support them emotionally. Like I told you, when my youngest daughter brought home D's, when I got bad grades, I got lickings. But when she brought home D's, and she's like me, short attention span, smart, but just don't want to do the work. But I learned from my childhood that cracks might not be the best way. So when she brought home D's, instead of getting on her case, I just said, oh, honey, you got so much potential. Because if you got all A's, that's the best you can do. But because you got D's, man, you got so much room for growth. Right? You think about it. How would you feel? What would you feel if you got D's and F's and your parents said, oh, you got so much potential. Look at this. You can only improve from here. But if you had all A's, well, sorry, kid, that's the best you can do. Can't go any further than that. Sorry. So we got to provide emotional support, encouragement. We got to provide biblical guidance, love, good example. Not just food. Not just that. We got to provide an environment for them to thrive. And one of the things sometimes we don't want to do is provide discipline. Because sometimes it, you know that saying, it's, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And as a kid, you don't understand that until it's your turn to dish out discipline. Because it hurts. Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. The Bible tells us we need to discipline him diligently. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. So, you know, I'm going to be 59. Oh, crazy, yeah? I am old and crusty. Yeah. So, being that I'm, you know, the older guys, how many of you got cracks when you was a little kid? And how many of you turned out better because you got cracks? How many of you turned out worse? One turned out worse, but you better now because you're in church. You know, I think the cracks kept us out of jail. Some of us still got cracks and ended up in jail. But the jail wouldn't help us because the jail was the public cracks. Okay, so we got to provide not just food, but we got to provide the emotional, the mental support, the encouragement, the discipline. I mean, you talk about that's being a heavy-duty thing for dads. It is. Because, you know, sometimes we don't want to crack our kids because it hurts. Yeah, and it does, but then would you rather them just keep going to the wrong path? And number three, dads discern. Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks will be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven will give what is good to those who ask him? You know, the son in this story asks his dad for fish and bread, provisions, food for everyday life. And, you know, you think about it. When your child comes to you, you say, Dad, I am hungry. What do you do? You're not going to give him a snake, right? You're going to give him a tuna sandwich, fish and bread, right? Discernment. They're hungry, you're going to give them fish and bread, tuna sandwich. Well, when he's 10 years old, he said, Dad, man, I seen this nice Harley Davidson going down the road. I don't want one of those. Well, hello, discernment says, no way. I wouldn't even get one for myself. Because if I got one for myself, I'd be dead because I am reckless. And if you know that he's your son and he has your blood, no. Well, what if your son is 11 and said, Dad, I want a dirt bike. I'll pray about it. But then if you're going to get him a dirt bike, well, you're going to get him the helmet, the knee pads, the chest protector, the instructions on how to ride it and how to be safe riding it. Then, you know, that's what we need to do. Now, when they ask you, Dad, I want a, you know, they're 10 years old, I want a TV in my room. Oh, wait a minute. Man, maybe not. Maybe that's not the best thing. Because they ain't never coming out of their room. You gotta from the living room, you gotta text them, son, it is dinner time. Come to the living room. How many of you do that in your house? Text your kids, tell them it's dinner time. Because if you yell, dinner time, No response. Seriously, kids nowadays. Dinner time, no response. Dinner time, no. You text in dinner time. Bing. Okay, I'm coming. Yeah, we gotta have discernment, especially when giving them so much electronics and so much games, because they might lose touch with reality. So, dads, we get all these things that we gotta discern. Like if your daughter or your son, you know, tells you, "I wanna go to the mall and meet some friends," well, who are you gonna meet? You know, is it guys or girls? You know, is it a mixed crowd? So you gotta kind of be wise. You gotta kind of call up your church friends. If you're going to the mall, watch for my kid, okay? From a distance. And if you see them with the wrong person, text me right away. I'll be down there quickly. Yeah. You know, if your daughter tells you at 12, "I wanna go on a date," no way. You ain't dating till you're 30. You know, we gotta have discernment. It's very important, because if we don't, and we give them stuff that they're not ready for mentally, we just might destroy them. You see, so many young people nowadays, they're taking their lives. And sometimes I wish, man, I wish I could talk to them before that. Maybe they didn't have a dad. Maybe they didn't have parents with discernment, and they got whatever they wanted. But it's so sad, because that shouldn't be happening. You know, dads, this is your day. And you have just an overwhelming amount of responsibility. But the good news is you don't have to do this alone. We have a very, very big and gracious God. We have a men's ministry where you can come and say, hey, you can ask the old and crusty guys, hey, what did you do when your daughter had a guy come pick her up? And I know the guys of you, those of you who have guns, and I was on the front porch cleaning my gun when he came. You know, I only own a cross fence, so that didn't work. Yeah. What do you do when your kid rebels? You know, you have God. You have old and crusty guys. We have a great support system. This is your day, dads. But the one thing I want to do before we send you off, I want to have the dads stand. Even if you're a mom who has to play both roles. Because, you know, some moms, you got to play both roles because dad just dug out. And if you're one of those, I want you to stand too, because you count. And I want you to stay standing. Yes, you can give them a hand. Because we got a gift for you. And maybe you're a dad to a nephew or somebody, your fatherly figure. If that's you, then stand also, because you have an important role. And I want you guys to stay standing, yeah? Because I want to pray for you guys. And if you stretch out your hand to the closest dad to you, Lena, you can stand too, because you mom and dad too Christian. And your son has turned out to be an awesome young man. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the dads who have made the choice to come to church today, even to watch online, to lead their families. I pray that you would give them wisdom beyond them to raise their children, grandchildren, to lead their families in a righteous way, that when they grow up, they'll not go astray, but it'll stick. So I pray you would give them all the tools that they need to be the best dads possible. And when they feel like giving up, Lord, give them strength and encouragement, like a booster shot to keep them going forward through all the difficult times and through all the seasons of life. Lord, I pray that they would use those moments as a time to teach their family on how to respond to adversity according to your word. So we thank you, Lord. We ask that you would bless these dads with wisdom, with health, and with joy. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, dads. All right, so ask the worship team to come up because we got just a few moments left for the postlude. I'd like to thank Dot for the beautiful flowers this morning. Yeah, thank you, Dot. Her husband's memorial was this past Friday evening. So Ray, the guy who used to be here in the wheelchair, he is in heaven. He is running. He is dancing. He is praising the Lord with his brand new body. So would you stand with me? Oh, thank you, the Kawakamis for making wonderful baked goods and the Matsuuras for the lychee.
Thank you.
By the way, the lychee is $5 a pound. Just kidding. It's for you to take, so just as long as you save me like two. All right, take it away, worship team.
We want to see. We want to see. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see. We want to see. We want to see Jesus lifted high.